I'm always excited to have Camo Lionheart back on the show. Today, for Camo's fourth episode with us, he's coming on to talk about this beautiful event that he's holding called Emergence Rise from the Chrysalis on July 9th. I'm actually honored to be one of the practitioners helping with this event. So there's six of us all together, including Camo, many of which have been on this podcast. Monica Fisher, Suzanne Silvermoon, Mahina, and Camo have all been on this podcast. Another gentleman named Metaphysical is going to be part of this healing group as well. Very, very excited to be a part of this and to talk to Camo about what he's wanting to bring forth and a lot of what the group healing modality can do for the healing and for the individual. This is a beautiful conversation. It's not just all about the Emergence Festival itself. A lot of the concepts around what we're going to talk about are going to be talked about in this episode as well. So enjoy it. There's going to be links in the show notes for you to sign up for this this event. It's in the Monroe area. So if you're local in the Washington, it's not too far from where you're at. Check out the show notes. Enjoy the conversation. But first, a message from our sponsor. Our healing journey can be difficult and might feel lonely at times. That's why I love sound baths. When we can get together in a community, we intrinsically support and feel supported by others. And that combined energy can help us go deeper into our own healing journeys. And all you have to do is just lay there for 1 hour and listen to beautiful healing sounds. I'm a sound healing practitioner, and I hold sound baths on a regular basis in the greater Seattle area. You can find my next sound baths on my website at adamrealhealing.com. That's Adam, A-D-A-M, Real, R-I-E-H-L, Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G.com. AdamRealHealing.com. Your healing is worth your time. And now, an uninterrupted podcast with Camo Lionheart.
Brother.
Brother. There you go. Camo.
Adam.
It's good to have you back, my friend.
Did I hit the volume too high on that one?
Nah, I think you're good.
Talk a little quieter. Adam!
Yeah. Well, welcome back. So, Cam's been on this show. This is your fourth time now.
Yeah, you guys have my whole life story.
One with Justin. Now you're back again. Yes, Cam's life story has been broadcast on this this podcast a few times in very beautiful ways, very, very beautiful ways. And as always, man, I'm so happy and honored to be here with you, for you to share your openness and to share your story, your journey, just your life. I was going to get gushy for a second. You're one of the closest people in my life, man. I really deeply appreciate you. I'm honored to work with you in this this upcoming event that you have. But besides that, I'm honored just to live with you, live life with you, to learn with you, to experience, to be brothers, to be humans, to meditate, hape, sananga, just be the fucking amazing human beings that we were put on this place to be. You helped me realize that, that I have that within me, even if I don't see it always. So thank you, brother.
Whew, receive, brother. Oh, the heartstrings are getting pulled today.
Yes.
Oh, I feel very much the same, my brother. Yeah, chosen family is super, super important. Yeah. And you're definitely, you and Monica are that for me. So
happy to be that. And, you know, I think, you know, like the biggest message of this love fest to start off the podcast is, you know, there's a community out there for us. You know, there is a community out there for us that will embrace us, that will accept us for who we are, that will help us on our journeys, that will help us find the human that we really want to be and help us shed that story that we're not. And so if you don't have that person, that community, that opportunity, find it, right? Find it out there. And, you know, not to jump off right into, you know, this event that you're doing, but events like this are those opportunities to find your community and to do something that's maybe outside your comfort zone, to dip a toe into some of the stuff that you may have heard about. Like, I hear about meditation all the time and I think it could work for me, or I hear about breath work and I think it might be something I can do, but I don't know where to start. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I liken this to a friend of mine on the other podcast that I do, my buddy Robin. He's just now getting into hip hop. And so I've been, you know, peppering him with hip hop, you know, Outkast, you know, all this stuff. And we got to the Wu-Tang and he's like, I don't fucking know where to begin. I don't know. There's 9 members. Well, there was actually 8 members, and then they brought on Capadonna, right? And then ODB died, right? And then now they have like the Wu-Tang Clan albums plus offshoots of. You have the Killer Bees. You have all these things, and he's like, I don't know where to fucking start.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that. I know it's a whimsical kind of you know similarity, but that's a lot of this you know the esotericness of life. Like you can hear about. I mean, and even now, you look at ayahuasca, look at psilocybin, look at all these plant medicines that are popularized mm-hmm. that are just out there. Like Will Smith talking about ayahuasca, fucking Dr. Dre's talking about doing ayahuasca mm-hmm. in a song. So you have all these people that are now talking about it, but where are the resources? Mm-hmm. How do we get into it? You know, and having events like this, putting yourself out there, trying something different, going into a place where there are, you know, multiple different types of healing modalities being practiced in the same spot. Go check your flavor, yeah. right? Go see what's out there, right? And this is a very safe and beautiful community to do it in. And I'm so happy that you and Kylie put this on for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You speaking towards those famous people talking about Mama Aya. It's like, and then the parallel with what we're doing here, it's like, oh, I hear about this. I hear about that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go try this. But having the safe, you just had mentioned it, the safe way to find it. Like the people who you trust, who you know through the list of our facilitators, through hearing us talk on the podcast. Oh, I kind of know these guys and I'm going to lean into this edge, this voice in my head that's saying, I think this might be something important for me, and I don't necessarily know why yet, but I'm going to commit to this because of something that I might not even be able to explain. Very exciting. Yeah. Getting all serious, la, are, la, la. La, la la. I mean, we will be celebrating whatever. With some music during this event, but really, like dropping into a safe container to try these things, to learn about the different modalities available from facilitators who I know and trust, and that in turn you know and trust. Suzanne Silvermoon's been on this podcast. Mahina's been on this podcast. Your partner Monica's doing mm-hmm. some beautiful food, and we just get to culminate our skills, our knowledge, and our life experience together to share and help our community grow in safe, healthy, conscious ways.
Yes.
Because that's one of the reasons why I even moved towards men's work so strongly is because, which is on a different podcast, the one with Justin, it's because I was not experiencing conscious brotherhood. It was always at a bar or around a mirror table or just work friends.
Yeah.
And there's only so much depth available there, and I wanted more.
Yeah.
There was like that longing for, I know that there's something more out there. I've experienced it personally in my yoga practice, but I feel still isolated. So how can I... And what is it for me that's going to connect me further?
Yes.
And within that, it took some deep courage and vulnerability. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of spurred this? I know you've been talking about ideas like this for years now, right? You've been wanting to do a big event. You've been doing little ones here and there, kind of like kind of almost polishing the skills and figuring out what you need to do. So what was the final thing that was like, okay, I'm doing this. We're going this big. We're going to see what's going on. Like, let's put this out there. Yeah.
this was inspired coming from like festival lifestyle and having these long weekends. Originally, this was going to be a 3-day event.
Okay.
And we trimmed it down to a single day event. I feel like in hindsight, to make it really accessible for people, to make it easy, affordable, to have a retreat / festival like experience in this healing focus, the healing modality focus, and not have to travel multiple days and be gone from the kids and the family multiple days, but something that a partnership, a male, female, female, whatever, any type of partnership could come as their duo and experience some beautiful healing work. That's not to say individuals aren't welcome. They're totally supported to come.
Nice.
And the more the merrier, really.
Yeah, most definitely.
Really accessibility to create that festival-like experience, that retreat-like experience where we can go deep and also come out feeling belonging, feeling connective, feeling like I have new people to explore the world with.
Right.
And the encouragement to lean into these connections is definitely important to carry on. Because from my experience in a 30-day yoga teacher training, it was like, oh, we have to do this again next year, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And then we all live in different parts of the world.
Right.
And so the communication slowly fades away.
Yep.
Whereas this is very specific towards this area, the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, greater Seattle area, really bringing this community together to grow it out and let it be known, let it be normalized that this is something that's happening in the world. And I feel very strongly that the more conscious we can be and the less unconscious or shadow that we live in, the better off each individual becomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really find a lot of help and a lot of comfort in group healing sessions also. And I think that's a really good way for a lot of us to enter into our healing. Because healing is fucking hard. Like it's work for a reason. Trabajo, right? It's fucking work. Right. Yeah. Right. And it's like, nobody's going to lift that boulder, but you, like, people can help you. People can give you tools, but that's your work. Right. And so in a lot of times that might be even like a subconscious thing that's keeping us from our work, is that we know how hard it's going to be. Yeah. Right. And especially when we're on our own, because it is your work, but there are opportunities like this where there's healing festivals or there's group healing sessions. You do group breathwork sessions outside of this, you know, all this kind of stuff that, you know, when we're with a group, we feel more supported and we don't feel like it's just me, you know? And so this, you know, whether you're an experienced, been experienced in your healing journey, or this is something new, you know, these big events like that, you know, they could seem daunting, but I challenge you and I ask you to look at the reason why you might feel a little intimidated and lean into that discomfort, because there's so much beauty in that discomfort.
Yeah.
And that's an opportunity for you to bring somebody with you too. Like you were saying, it's a singles event or a couples event, you know, whatever mix you want to do, but you know, it can also be a friend, right? Bring a friend with you, right? Have that friend have support. You know, I do healing, you know, you do sound baths, I do sound baths as well, you know, and when you have, like, a lot of times I'll see groups of people coming into those sound baths, you know, sober groups, you know, families, whatever it is, because that group mentality makes the healing that much more special.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love my one-on-one work that I do, coaching mostly men, have definitely worked with women in the past, but there's something beautiful and deep that can happen in those one-on-one sessions. And it's really great for those who are like, I don't know, like, I want to, like, I know that there's something more, like I was saying earlier about part of my journey. I know there's something more, but what is it? And for some people, it's easier to drop into the one-on-one and open up a little bit. And then coming back to that vulnerability piece and that courage to step into that vulnerability, like in group healing spaces, especially in safe spaces, like the one we're doing for Emergence Rising from the Chrysalis. There's plenty of other options around the area for weekly support as well. But in those containers, what I've found from speaking to my addictions, my lying in relationships, my most dark, vulnerable, shameful guilt spaces and actions, me dropping in and sharing those in a circle of men or a co-ed circle, those ones like even scarier for me.
Right. Yeah.
Because of the judgment. But to go there for myself, when I went to that place and worked the processes that I've worked, and afterwards I got a big hug from everybody.
Right.
Or when I went there to my deep rage space and that led to sorrow, like dry heaving, crying to complete surrender. And I had 20 something brothers lift me over their heads and just hold me in my melting, relaxed, like surrendered space. The sense of belonging and connection was infinite.
Yeah.
Like that, those moments will stay with me forever of like, oh, I belong. I am never alone. And that is an even deeper reason for doing something like this.
Yes.
Like giving that opportunity for an individual to step into their warrior, their goddess, their god, their kingship, their queenship, and go, oh, I know that there's something more and I'm going to find it. And stepping in for all of this beautiful work that we are offering.
Yeah.
And being seen, or, you know, just being there to observe and be in the experience and receive the experience.
Gather and information.
In that way, like when one person heals, and I know I've said this before on here, when one person heals, we all heal.
Yes.
If you go into a process in a men's call, another brother, I facilitating, heal just as much.
Mm-hmm.
It might be more felt in you, but it ripples out.
Yeah.
So even a sideline observer watching, even somebody who sees a photo on Instagram of some of my work from Sacred Sons, is like, that's what I need. People are doing that. Like,
right.
It's all going to be very potent. And so,
yeah,
step into that kingship, step into that queenship, and just honor that, like, voice that says, I want more.
Right. And I don't know about you, but you know, when I first did, you know, the first couple of these big group sessions, healing sessions, as a participant, not as a practitioner, you know, I was definitely going there for me to do work, right? Like in our men's groups that you hosted not too long ago. You and Justin were hosted men's groups, and like when I went in there with the intention of releasing stuff, you know, I've stuff to work on, dad, you know, things like that. But you know, there's also another side of it that I don't think people really realize until it happens, right? And it's witnessing somebody go through their shit, right? And not in the point of like, okay, call to arms, I'm going to support this brother, sister, this human in front of me. Not that, right? But the idea of like, holy fuck, I've been in that position before. Mm-hmm. How would I want to be supported? How have I not been supported?
Mm-hmm.
How have I been maybe mocked because I cried?
Yeah.
How can I support this human that they're crying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it allows us to step into this empathic nature that we probably are really naturally adapted to, but if pushed away for whatever reason, you know, and when you witness a human go through an emotional release of trauma of whatever it is, and then you can show up in some kind of way and help hold that space, whether it's a loving word, a hand on the shoulder, just a gaze through your Zoom lens. That is huge for the person, because I don't think they expect that impact really to be on them, right?
Yeah.
They expect the impact to be witnessed when they have their release, when they have their thing that they've broken through, not the witness of somebody else and be like, holy shit, I've been there. How can I help that person? And that's where the empathy starts. And that's where that, when we can be more empathic in our own communities, I think, you know, global empathy, I've heard people talk about, is kind of dangerous because we really go towards the stories that we're most familiar with. That's why localized empathy usually works, because we're empathic with our family and friends because we understand their stories. You know, on a global scale, we don't really understand that. So global empathy is a little weird, but you know, that community empathy, let's call it that, you know, where we know the 150 people that are around us and we're really intimate and know those, that is beautiful, man, because that really opens up something inside of us that has always been there. We just kind of squashed down for a little bit.
Yeah. And in that, I'm carrying on from that, I'm feeling like, oh, similar cultures. So where global would be like, oh, I don't know, because their culture is completely different. What I would do for that them in my compassion might actually be very offensive.
Right, 100%.
Whereas here we get to be pretty much from a similar culture. This is kind of a blanket statement, but within that, it's like, how can we start to shift our culture as well. How can we take our culture that goes, men shouldn't feel, men should make the money, women should do this, women, and here's another point, women should be on birth control and doing this and ignoring their cycles every month and trying to turn those off, actually, where, I mean, in our event, we're having the opportunity for women to sit and be in a ritual with their womb.
Yes.
And really coming into that cyclical nature of who they are. And now we can start to even shift the details in that culture versus the entire... I guess it starts with the details, and then it turns into the full culture. So we have all these, I'm like looking at the flyer right now, like all these cool little details that are all baby steps into shifting how we interact with each other as a community.
Yep. I think you know, and this is probably like a deeper thing like you're talking about here, but normalizing these what we would now consider awkward or taboo conversations, you know, like moon cycles for women, you know, the fact that men aren't the fucking breadwinners, the fact that maybe the masculinity that the world has forced us to become is now spreading over into femininity and is forcing the feminine to be overtly masculine as well. And now we're losing the idea of what that femininity would be because we're just focused so much on the shadow masculine. You know, there's all these things, these ideas that are out there that once, you know, we become aware of them, we can start to really work with them and understand them. But until we become aware of them, we're just playing the game. We don't have, we don't understand why we're playing the game. We don't really understand the rules. We just know we're in a game. But when you could take a step back and understand, you know, that they're guidelines, I wouldn't call them rules. Let's call them guidelines. You can really play within those guidelines because like for me personally, like I don't want to construct to the check boxes that the Western style of living has set up, whether they make that a blatant thing or it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of just fed into us through our understanding and through our schooling, through our, you know, and upbringings, you know, to where we just kind of have these quiet, you know, expectations put on us. You know, but at I got to the page, I think it was age 33, where I was like, this is fucking bullshit. I can't do this anymore. I cannot keep up with the pace that you're wanting to set. And do I really even fucking want to?
Yeah.
You know? And the answer was no.
And why?
And why? Exactly. Yeah. If the answer is yes, ask the why. Why do I want to? Because the neighbor is doing it. Why is the neighbor doing it? Because their neighbor is doing it. Yeah. When are we going to fucking stop and just be the human beings we really want to be instead of chasing after somebody else's fucking dream?
Yeah. This is huge, and I've noticed that a lot one-on-one clients as well as just different new people who have arrived in my life. And this is, in a sense, some form of shadow work where it's, I don't know why I made that decision. I don't know why I kept making that same choice. I never thought about why I wanted this or that.
Yeah,
I'm just doing this thing unconsciously because I'm just now asking why.
Yeah.
And you don't even need to necessarily know an answer, but the fact that it's recognized, like I had a moment, I was at the theater the other day and a person that I was with said something a little bit more in a normal voice than whisper. And my initial reaction was not one that I was super proud of, but it was, like, you're talking really loud for the movie theater.
Yeah.
Instantly, I was like, that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. That was my, like, shadow space going, you're not supposed to talk in the theater.
Right.
Like, why? Oh, it's disturbing people around. But I instantly felt the disconnect and how I could navigate, how I could have navigated that better through, like, an inquiry.
Yeah.
So that's also like my shadow showing up and how do I work with these reactionary things that are just unconscious.
Right.
Like I wasn't even present to saying those words.
Right.
Luckily I noticed them right away and
were able to like instant correct.
Apologize, but then also after the movie, like talk about it and really like recognize how we're completely reflections, we're mirrors for each other, and you get to be a mirror for me. And so when I'm stepping out of line, like, and I can feel that, like, ooh, I said something that wasn't great. Yeah. I could feel a disconnect between you, Adam, and me and my energy. Like, oh, there's a broken chain from this connection. I don't like when those happen. I personally can feel that. And so how do I add that new link?
Right, yeah.
How can we step forward? And I feel like the more we step forward into, like, recognizing our unconscious patterning, noticing what the unmet needs were in that space, it's like the faster we come to healing that connection. And maybe next time I won't show up in that same way. The sensation or feeling arises, and it's like, I know to be very careful with how I react right now. It would be nice if they wouldn't have said that so loud. Oh, maybe more of a, hey, I love when you talk to me in the movie theater, but do you recognize that you're using a volume that's maybe disturbing for the other people around?
There you go.
Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, just how we shift our interactions with each other to this compassionate space versus, like, our feeling sensation of discomfort being projected out. Like, I'm really excited to, like, dive into that in this as well.
You know, when you brought that up just now, you know, that's stuff that I'm working on too, right? That's that unconscious kind of reactionary kind of thing that maybe pre-programmed Adam used to be, right?
Corporate Adam,
fucking corporate Adam, man. He's got his clipboards, he's got his fucking necktie on, he's doing shit.
All of his reactions,
all of his fucking reactions, man. They're pre-programmed, ready to roll. Yeah. But I, you know, the thing is like, how many times have people leaned into that, right? So let's say that same scenario, your friend was talking, you said what you said, and instead of being conscious and understanding, like, oh shit, man, I just showed up the way I didn't want to. Leaning into it, be like, no, shut up, right? You're too loud, you know? And then where is that voice coming from? Like, that's that deep, deep fear that we don't even really know is coming from, you know? Yeah. And I could say as a parent, that was where my biggest shadow for that instance kind of came out. My kids like to ask questions. Why is the sky blue? Why did that just hurt? Why is this over there? Why is that there?
Hair on your face and I don't.
Exactly. All these questions, you know? And it's like, fucking hell, man. After a while, you're like, just because, right? Stop asking questions. And my oldest grew out of that. She's 18 now, just graduated. Congrats, Bates. But my youngest is 13, and she is still, like, nosediving headfirst into that why stage. And she never got out of it. And what I had to do is I had to realize, like, where my frustrations came from when she would ask the whys. And a lot of it, to me, what I found was that our logic, my logic, I'll use me, my logic is so wrapped up in my 42 years of age that when my kid asks me why I did something or why I do something the way I do it, it frustrates me because I can't really honestly answer her because it's wrapped up in decades worth of trial and error, figuring shit out, burn myself, don't do that again. Okay, now this is the way I do it. Now, can I explain to my child my 40 years of experience as to why I fucking wash the floor the way I do? No. Yeah. But I can make something up. I can help her understand it instead of just dismissing her and be like, just go fucking play with your toys.
Yeah.
You know? And that's that consciousness that you're talking about, right? Can we take a moment, take a breath, understand that we might have been triggered by whatever reason, and it's not even their fault, but whatever just happened was a trigger for you. And can you understand that that was a trigger? And that what you're about to just say is not going to be what you want to show up as. And even if you do say it, can you recognize that's not how you want to show up and then follow that up just like you did, you know? And it's those moments, like, this is what work teaches us. It doesn't fix everything. Right when you start to do the work, it doesn't mean, like, the fuck it, everything is great and everything's better. The reason you started doing the work is now vanished.
I'm woke.
Put the ED at the end of the word, heal. I'm fucking done, man. I'm walking away. Hands up. Victorious. No, that gives you a thing to work on. It shows you that mirror, you know, it shows you that mirror of, like, dude, you're showing up in a way that you're probably not the most proud of. How do you want to fix that? So with you have, and I'm present company excluded for my own personal accolades, but you have an amazing group of healers lined up for this event.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky to be one of them. Again,
you are one of them.
I'm taking the word amazing off of myself, but I've known and worked with...
Own that shit, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Amazing Adam.
Thank you, bro.
You should just be like, Amazing Adam Sound Baths.
Yeah, yeah, watch for the marquee.
I'll get you a top hat. Right? Get a striped suit or something.
Dude, sign me up. I got to have the long coattails.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yeah.
So, you know, with these, was it 6, 7 altogether with Mon? Or 6 altogether?
6 with Mon. Okay. So we are definitely leaning onto that food is... being facilitated by Monica. A little bit about food, like our consumption is so, it can be very conscious and unconscious as well. I remember when I was still eating fast food, I actually ended up going vegetarian for a year just to stop eating fast food.
Oh, really?
When I was in college, because it was every night.
Yeah.
Every night. I don't, like, oh, excuse, no time, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it just became... a pattern,
yeah.
A train pattern of what I did for food.
What was your fast food? What was your jam?
Oh, probably like Jack in the Box and Taco Bell.
Okay,
Wendy's,
right.
Those standards. Uh-huh. Not McDonald's or Burger King so much. They were too big.
Yeah,
now I like looking back. I'm like,
they're all the same, right?
and like even like the water we choose to filter or not, or there's plenty of amazing different. Filters out there, but like we have a choice in how we consume content or media, like do I choose to watch this show and then turn the show off, or do I choose to watch cable news and include all the commercials and take all of that into myself as well. And speaking just to food, to have a beautiful Reiki master making food and the like highest vibrational nourishments that we could possibly have for a day like this, like it feels so in alignment.
Definitely.
Yeah, and we know our meals, but I think we'll surprise you a little bit with those because they're just going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a facilitated portion. There'll be two, and a lunch and a dinner, and time for like that softer, more casual, connective space, because we will be going into some deeper spaces with Mahina guiding a shadow embrace ceremony where we'll be talking deeper into what we were just speaking about, like our unconscious patterning and specifically into the unmet needs.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly probably stemming from childhood, but then the unmet needs of this moment and how to communicate that in a conscious way so that our relationships can get better. You guiding some movement and some sound healing. That'll be yoga movement.
Mm-hmm.
Your specialty.
Yes.
And it'll be a beautiful Reiki-infused day with 3 Reiki masters. You, Monica, and myself. I'm looking at Suzanne Silverman's photo. It's such a great photo of her.
Yes.
She was on the podcast a month or so ago.
Yep. So we're talking about our Ayurvedic healing.
Yeah. So she's a beautiful, beautiful healer in of herself. Great yoga knowledge and has been running moon lodges for years now. And so that's going to be really nice to have a veteran within that space holding the women and any non-binary who's feeling drawn towards the feminine that day can join that space.
That's beautiful.
And then I'll be guiding an Emergent Men's Council, which, you know, it's called Emergence. I'll just speak to what is emergence. And for me, it's really the allowing of what wants to rise. Mm. How do you want to grow? And not necessarily holding on to like the what we become, but allowing that openness to let the seeds come up through the earth and see which one wants to grow stronger towards the sun.
There you go. And I love that because like when you plant a seed, you know, that seed probably has no idea of where it's going, how big it's going to be. It's just growing, right? It's growing. It's taking in nutrients from the sun above, from the soil below. It's being shaded by the other trees around it. Mycelium's feeding it, but it doesn't have a goal, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas like a lot of us, I think in my own terms, like I've always had this goal of what I want to reach, but let's say I reach that, you know, what happens then? You know, is it just like, cool, congrats, Adam, you've reached that goal? It's like, no, there's something else I'm pushing past with that. Now, am I consciously doing that, or am I unconsciously doing it? Am I doing it just because somebody else is telling me to do it? Or can I just embrace the fact that I'm growing?
Yeah.
And embrace the fact that I'm moving past things that no longer serve me, you know? And it's like, I don't have this goal of, like you said, healed or woke or whatever fucking term you want to put on it, right? It's just the fact that we're growing. We're different than yesterday.
Yeah.
Like I love, they're on a lot of CrossFit gyms, I see better than yesterday.
Yeah.
That's all we want. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have to be, you know, like solve all the goals, create all the things, right? It's just better than yesterday.
Yeah.
Just a little bit better than yesterday.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Before I dive further into the emergent men's work, a woman in my cacao breathwork and sound ceremony last night started to talk about or speaking to what's going on for her as her struggle. Mm. And she said struggle, and she's like, wait, not that word, on my journey.
Ah, there you go.
And I was like, boom, like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The struggle doesn't have to be real. The struggle doesn't even have to be there. It's just being on the journey.
Right.
I'm on the journey, and this is my real. This is my reality. I might have an ideal out here somewhere that is like the sun, and little sprouts coming up and growing towards the sun, but it might have to wrap around a tree. It might have to do this. And so similarly, when it comes to emergence, and I'll speak specifically to the emergent men's work that I'll be guiding, men's council that I'll be guiding. And this is a deep call to the brothers to lean in. Mm. This work's often very female or feminine heavy, or scaled towards those participants. Mm. And brothers, lean in. This is a great opportunity to connect, meet a lot of people, and go into some men's council where there'll be some offerings there to see what wants to emerge from us.
Mm.
And I'll hold you, Adam will hold you, we'll be holding you in the space. So, yeah.
And we, you know, we spoke about, I made the comment earlier about how, you know, a lot of our world seems to be a little more masculine and heavy right now. You know, we're, and when we use the terms masculine and feminine, that doesn't mean just men or women, right?
Right.
As a man, I embody masculine and femininity in me. So do you. So do women embody masculine and femininity, right? And so what we've kind of found over the years is, I mean, to lack a better term, like masculinity is kind of easy. Right? It's easy to be the heavy hand. It's easy to be the anger. It's easy to be the fucking, the force.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder, and I guess harder, maybe not the right term. It's a lot different, a lot more, not as natural for us.
That's where I was gonna go.
To be that feminine, right? Mm-hmm. And to be the softer, and to find a way to approach a situation instead of handle the situation, right?
Good point.
And so, you know, and that's, again, that's with men and women embracing that masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more we can start to embrace and work hard to understand the feminine side, that's a lot of that work, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy for me to lose my shit and scream at somebody. That's no problem. I'm a fucking 100% asshole. I can do that easily. It's a lot harder for me to get triggered, sit into that, take my time, catch my breath, and then respond in kind, right? It's hard for me to do that, right? And so that's where my work comes from, is not just leaning into that get fucked mentality. It's okay, let's figure this out, because maybe we're just not hearing each other the way we want to be heard. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're not presenting our argument or our situation the strongest that we can. So how do we both get to the point to where I have my best version of my point, argument, whatever it is, you know, you have your best, and then we go from there, right?
Yeah.
But we have that understanding, and we take the time, maybe leaning more towards, again, that femininity than that masculine of just like, do what I say, you know?
Yeah, and that drops us back into that shadow work, unmet need, and being able to notice that and learn about that so that we can communicate like, ooh, I just responded really unconsciously because the unmet need of this wasn't there, and can we talk about that?
Yeah.
So yeah, from that, it's like Mahina and I will actually bring the womb ritual and the emergent men's work back together to start to balance some of that. And we have a beautiful offering for the bringing of the men and the non-binary who want to lean into their masculinity that day, and the females and the non-binary who want to lean into their femininity that day, to come together and just begin to balance ourselves, like the masculine and feminine within us, which will be, I think, really, really beautiful and really powerful.
I'm really excited to have, you know, more non-binary humans join affinity groups, right? Whether it's a men's group, a women's group, whatever affinity group. And affinity means like specialized groups, right? And I'm really excited because I have this really, and a lot of it's not just me, but you know, I want to understand. And it's a wanting to understand when I think people don't even in that life don't even understand, right? We're walking into a stage of humanity that is being figured out. And as scary as that is, it's also very exciting, you know, very exciting for the fact that we can stop identifying with biological genders and we can be humans and let the humanity start to open up as far as how we want humans to be accepted and understood, not genders. Yeah. And again, like I understand biology has given us genders and I get that, right? That's how a lot of species procreate, but other species don't identify. They don't have identifiers by that, by their genitalia, right? Whereas humans have. And so to get to a point to where finally moving away from that identifiers and awkwardly and cumbersomely moving in and around the ideas of what gender names are going to be. Non-binary is a great one, but you know, the he, him, she, hers, they, them, right? You know, we're trying our hardest. So to be a part of this area of life, to like create new words, to create new understandings for the sexualities or the non-binaries or just the humanness, as scary and as frustrating as some people might see that as being, that's fucking awesome. Like we are part of this beautiful part of humanity that is understanding a new way to live and how to create the platform for that to be. So with that, like, again, I welcome more non-binary folks or whatever genders you represent or recognize as, to be a part of these groups and to share the information, share the struggle, share the love, share the understanding that you're going through, so we can all be a part of this. So the more input, the more community we can create around all of this understanding, I think the more impactful the message will be going out.
Right, and that's being seen and heard in community.
Yes.
Like leaning into that courage, like, oh, I don't know. And, I'm going to show up and I'm going to show up Pride Month proud of who I am. 100%. We're calling this Rising from the Chrysalis because we're going into this container as a whole community. Every participant joining, including the facilitators and our host Kylie at Sacred Dwelling, we're going into this cocoon, this chrysalis together to compress and be moved into our edges of comfort as well as discomfort and be seen and witnessed in those places, those emotions, those every the humanness, as you were just saying, like, let's be human together, go into these spaces, experience our unique humanness, that and then notice what is shared, how other people feel the same things, how we're actually all one.
Yes.
And then rising from that, we get to drop into a beautiful brother, DJ, a friend of mine that I knew from Hawaii, Metaphysical.
I'm excited to meet him.
Yeah, he's super cool, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, super cool, brother. He's going to bring us some music that we can find some ecstatic movement and drop into some celebration. There'll be some cacao during that, which is like the podcast you just posted a week or two ago. By the time this one comes out, so you can learn a little bit more about cacao there. Freeform movement. You can sit and do nothing. You can dance ecstatically. It's going to be a time to celebrate you.
Yeah.
Proud of you. Proud of you for showing up. And maybe carrying that with you, continuing. I have a client who, with her inner child, just danced every day. I'm going to dance for 5 minutes day.
That's great.
And she's such a radiant flower now, blossoming, beautiful being.
Yeah.
Not that she wasn't before, but yeah, seeing her light up when she talked about it. It's like, yeah, ecstatic movement, cool. So...
Well, do you mind if we talk about ecstatic movement for a minute?
Yeah, let's go.
I've shared this on podcasts before. I feel extremely awkward dancing. There was a book that I'm reading, and it talks about, I can't remember the name of it, but it talks about the four healing salves of the indigenous peoples. And basically, if you look at your life within these four healing salves, you can see if you're healthy or not, right? Mm. And if you've lost one of these things or you don't feel comfortable within one of these things, this is where to start to look at. Mm. Some people use chakras. You know, you can use whatever you want to look at that. So their healing salves are dancing, singing, storytelling, and meditation. Mm. So if you have those four things within your constitution, then in their theory, you're healthy. Mm. So when I immediately heard that, I'm like, well, I don't feel comfortable singing in front of anybody anymore. And if anybody saw me dance, I would lose my shit. So the singing side for me has been, I've been working on very, very hard lately, and my success with that has been chanting. Mm-hmm. And typically people aren't looking at me when I'm chanting, they're in their own zone, so I can sing and not have to really fear of crowd participation or awareness. But dancing in front of people, or not even in front of people, dancing period. I can be by myself, locked room, windows shut, nobody home, not even the fucking dog. And I feel so awkward and not within myself. It's so painful for me to do. So, but I know it's healing. I know it. And the few times that I've leaned into it, whether it's with men's group with you and Justin or with, you know, people that have, you know, asked me and I didn't feel comfortable enough to tell them I don't feel comfortable doing it. So I just, fuck it, I'm going to do it, you know? So first off, what is the theory behind the movement and the healing behind ecstatic dancing or ecstatic movement?
I'm sure somebody else could explain this better, but I will go with my own personal experience.
Yes.
And I really want to facilitate you right now. I'm going to do that first. Are you open to me doing a little facilitation with you?
Yes. I say begrudgingly, but yes, I am Camo.
What is your yoga practice for you?
Well, it's actually interesting. My yoga practice, when I first started doing yoga, has definitely changed. My yoga practice for me now is something more challenging, and I look at it as recovery, but also as I'm doing work.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And what is chanting for you, and where does that show up?
Chanting for me is multi-layered. So if I'm doing it for myself, it's to help me find something that I'm working towards. Yeah. If I'm called to do it for somebody, it's my intuition driving me to help somebody kind of work on something within them.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to invite you to look at the first part of the chanting answer.
Okay.
And then the yoga practice, how you described it for you.
Okay.
And where does corporate Adam show up in that?
Everywhere. Every fucking where, man. Everywhere. And corporate Adam, for those that don't know, corporate Adam was what I named my ego. I had a buddy on, Chris Pugh, almost a year ago now, and he's a clinical psychologist or a therapist. And his advice to me was to name my ego so then I have something to talk to, right? I can say, hey, corporate Adam, shut up, or go to the corner, or thanks, corporate Adam, I appreciate that insight. Mm-hmm. And so corporate Adam is the name of my ego. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, and I also have a perception of corporate Adam as like... spreadsheets with the clipboards and the schedules. Yep. And so yoga practice is this pose to this pose to this pose to this pose, and the chanting is this mantra, this mantra, this mantra, this mantra.
Pretty much, yep.
Okay. So ecstatic dance.
Uh-huh.
There's your little reflection there.
Yep.
Thank you for playing being facilitated momentarily by Camo Lionheart. We won't go deeper at the moment.
We'll wait till the Emergence Festival to go deeper.
Yes, we will. So for me, ecstatic movement. I call it ecstatic movement in mm-hmm. the events that I guide, because people get really scared of the term dance. Ecstatic movement, ecstatic dance is moving however you want, allowing spirit to guide you, the music to guide you, sitting there and just breathing and meditating, or just sitting there. It could be allowing your yoga poses to flow more freely than you would on your yoga mat.
Okay.
It could be jumping up and down. It could be making random sounds as they want to move out of your body.
Yeah.
It could be being completely silent. My experience and where I was introduced to ecstatic dance was on the Big Island, Hawaii, at Kalani, the yoga retreat center that I managed the kitchen at for a few years, with a collective couple other folks. That's besides the point. We had ecstatic dance at our retreat center every Sunday, massive hundreds of people. And we had another one on Thursdays up at a different place called Garden Temple. And on the dance floors, there's no talking. You can emote, you can hoo-wee, whatever, like any sounds you want, but there's no talking. The communication happens non-verbally.
Okay.
If you want to talk to somebody, invite them to leave the space to talk. So within that, it became very much about the music being played, and those vibrations, as a sound healer, understanding vibrations moving through me, allowing them to move through me, and maybe they unlock a sound and that needs to go out. That doesn't happen very often for me.
Right.
But maybe that's a edge that is actually my growth edge within ecstatic movement, or ecstatic dance. The intention would be to allow your body to move freely, ecstatically, in celebration of, and in the more specific, like weekly ecstatic dances that we have here in the area, they're very healing because we're not speaking, we can't share in the same way. And everybody's a reflection. So I can notice when I'm comparing or like wanting to be better at dancing with a partner, or wanting to dance battle this person, or in my competitive nature. It's like, oh, my competitiveness is coming out.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I'll sit and breathe and take a moment. And then like, oh yeah, this isn't about that. This is just about me being in my movement and coming into that somatic experience when we're static all the time.
Right.
Or when I'm static all the time, I get sore in certain places. And then looking at the bioenergetics of, if I'm slumped over watching TV for an extended period of time, how does that represent my emotional state?
Right.
And is my body starting to affect my emotional state because I'm slouched over on the couch, like in poor posture? And then if I sit up tall and like sit in front of my gong and play that, how does holding that position elevate or shift my emotional state?
Right.
And then add the vibration of the gong and it's like, blast off. So I would say there's a vibrational healing that can happen from the music and the beats, that then translates into your movement, however it wants to be. It could be a straight up like hatha yoga practice,
right,
if you want it to be.
Right.
Anything is welcomed as long as you're safe within yourself, not harming others around you nor yourself. And it's all about freedom and celebration, which is why this is happening before dinner. We get to move a bunch before dinner and have like this beautiful space after some of this deeper work and some of this coming together in our truths, our vulnerability, being seen, being witnessed, in all of our courage to show up.
Right.
And within that, emerging from the chrysalis, maybe a little bit more free feeling, hopefully a little bit more connected, a little bit stronger of a sense of belonging. And receiving a sound bath afterward, and just we're still working on the order a little bit, but
it's all gonna be there.
For those who might be scared of ecstatic dance, it could be something you just sit and witness.
Right.
And notice the "I can't do that" voice in our heads. And then ask, where is that coming from and why?
Yep. I think that's really the reason why ecstatic dance scares me so much, is because that voice that you just said in my head is screaming so loud at a through a bullhorn.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that, that's the biggest work that I know I have to do. And it's not just the dancing. I know it's not just the dancing, but that's where the culmination of like everything that I feel awkward about manifests in when I want to, or when I'm asked to ecstatic dance. Me not knowing how to do it, right? Me not knowing my body movement, me not knowing like if I'm doing it right, quote unquote, right? You know, there's all these things that then, and that's corporate Adam, 100%. I got to know the boundaries. I got to know the rules. I got to know the parameters of what I'm working into. Is this going to last for a minute? Is this going to last for 2 hours? Do I have the choice? If I have the choice, okay, if I just dip a toe in and literally like do a hokey pokey and then sit down, am I shortchanging myself? Am I going to guilt myself later? You know, exactly, right? And that's that corporate Adam guy, right? And those are those moments that I know that I'm doing something I need to do, because corporate Adam gets flared. Yeah. And the only reason he gets that flared is when he is deathly afraid of looking like an asshole or looking foolish. Yeah. And I know that's my own work, because I do know, having been a part of ecstatic dances, that even as an observer, I'm not judging the people that are out there dancing. Yeah. If anything, I'm living vicariously through them, mm-hmm. and I'm wishing I was one of those people. So yeah. I know in my head that that's dialogue's not there.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely say with all of what we'll be experiencing during this day and carrying forward, you can't do it wrong.
Right.
Like, just doing it the way that feels right for you, whether it's ecstatic dance or your shadow work process and dealing with your unmet needs. And it's a learning, it's work, because it's continual.
Right.
And so if the work is, oh, I leaned into ecstatic dance for 2 minutes, felt crazy and like had to stop. Cool.
Yeah.
You like push that edge, Adam, just that much to then maybe step in a little further next time.
Yep.
So yeah, there's, it's like creating this beautiful, safe, judgment-free, accepting place to be seen, be witnessed, right. be heard, be held, and maybe find some beautiful connections that can keep accountability with your work, or just friends, because so many of us are just coming into these new places in our lives after the lockdowns of 2020 and beyond. Like, we've many of us have shifted. I know I shifted a lot during that time. And coming out, like, who is my community now? Who are my real friends and family? And who do I want to choose to be in my field? Who make me feel like a better person, and those who also challenge me when I'm not showing up the best that I can?
Yes.
And, you know, maybe that some people, it's not for you.
Yeah.
I will say, like, having consistent accountability reflection is not for everyone.
It's not.
It's tough. It also is exactly what I've needed and what I can offer to others as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that it is, man. And you know, the feedback too, for the person receiving the feedback and also the people giving feedback, you know, I love feedback. I search it out. For yoga classes, clients, you know, how did that land? Everything okay? Check in the next day, all that stuff. But I think the caveat to that is, and again, this is for the person speaking the truth as well as the person receiving the truth, don't use your truth as a sword, right? Your truth and the way you view it might be your view, but swinging that view with the intention of chopping somebody's head off with your truth is a slippery slope, you know? And so that's, I think, a lot of what this work teaches us is that, you know, being the observer, right? Let's say you're observing somebody going through their moment, right? And you notice judgment start to come into your brain, right? Into your field of view. that's your opportunity. Like you said earlier, look at that judgment. Why am I judging that person? Oh, because I'm afraid that if I go to this moment, that might be me too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I would be comfortable doing that, or somebody would hold the space for me, or whatever that is. Yeah. You know, so as the observer watching somebody go through their stuff, again, you know, we talked about this earlier, but that's as much of a growth moment for you, because you get to look at those voices in your head, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that person's crying. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm judging that person for mm-hmm. crying. Okay, let's draw this back. Yeah. When's the last time I cried? Do I feel comfortable? Can I give somebody a hug right now and maybe mm-hmm. cry a little bit? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's those are those intuitive moments that your body has been telling you for a long time, but just, are you ready to listen to them now?
Yeah. And something I like to bring through before I guide any breathwork ceremonies is our nervous system will allow the emergence of only what we're ready for. Mm. So no matter what we have in our story, what traumas, what mishandlings from our caregivers, what repressed memories might be there, like our nervous system will only allow so much to emerge at once so that, and that's the stuff that's ready to be handled. That's the opportunity. That's like the portal. Like people would say like, oh, Adam, you triggered me. It's like, oh, Adam, you created a gateway for my healing. You created a gateway towards within me by quote unquote triggering me, opening this space up in my body to feel this sensation, and then shadow work.
Yeah.
Find my unmet need in that moment. Mm-hmm. Find my inner wounding from my childhood, or any number of different pathways to arrive at a different place of ultimately connection. And these are the tools that I love to offer, and what I feel like will be strongly offered within the space of this emergence rising from the chrysalis gathering is pathways into a deeper sense of being.
Mm. And we need that,
yeah.
You know, and those can be, you know, those things that we find from ourselves, or we see somebody else find, you know, and that's mm-hmm. that inspiration that we continue to move forward. We continue to keep digging. We continue to keep like shining that light. You know, I mean, I'm personally excited about this event from a selfish reason. Not only to get to be a part of it and co-facilitate with you, but also I get to experience it. You know, I get to be a part of the breath work. So I get to be a part of the cacao ceremonies. I get to be a part of the men's groups.
And the ecstatic dance.
And the ecstatic dance.
It's actually called ecstatic movement.
You know, and it's, I love being a part of these things, man. You know, from a practitioner's standpoint, and from a participant's, you know, there's so much healing that can happen with group sessions. And putting yourself into something that's a little scary for you. Yeah. You know, for me, the my biggest growth moments happen when I am terrified of what I'm doing, but I know deep down that it's good for me. Huh. You know. And I think that's the chrysalis, right? Exactly. Like, you know, that caterpillar doesn't realize it's going in there to merge something else, right? Mm-hmm. It thinks it's probably going in there to die, right? Mm-hmm. It goes into this chrysalis, takes a silk, makes its cocoon, and then however much time later, from all the pressure, from all the change, from all the growth, this beautiful butterfly or moth pops out, mm-hmm. right? And that's just this transformation. Yeah. You know, we transform. We go in with the idea of like, oh, this is it. I'm just going to go to sleep and never wake up again.
Yeah.
But when you wake up, you're flying. You go from crawling on grass to flying in the fucking trees, man. Yeah. That's dope. I love that.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, yeah, like, letting that old story die, letting the old version of you die, letting corporate Adam die uh-huh. just a little bit more so that you can fly a little bit more brightly.
Yes.
Be seen a little bit larger, take up the space that you deserve.
Yeah.
Like, be seen, be witnessed. Or if that's not in alignment, like, do your work and feel that, even if you don't want to be seen.
Yeah.
Like, how can one step into a greater version of themselves? And can I, as me, Camo,
mm-hmm.
help create spaces and opportunities for that to happen for people? Because ultimately, that's why I do everything that I do.
Yeah.
Within breathwork, yoga, sound healings, this event, which hopefully next year will be a 2-day event.
And then
a 3-day, and then a week long.
Keep growing
for that. Yeah, like the call is out there for my brothers, my sisters, my humans, sacred, beautiful beings to join us.
Yeah, and I think one of the analogies that I heard about, you know, change, actually a couple little things about change. So there was a study I read not too long ago that said, it polled about 1,000 people and said, if you look back 10 years from now, do you think you're the same person? And I would say 70%, I think it was 70% of the people were like, nah, way different. I'm 100% different person than I am now, different views, different understandings, all that stuff. The second question was, 10 years from now, do you think you'll be the same person? 70% of the people said, yeah, yeah, I'm going to be the same human I am now. I figured this out. Wow. It's like, really? But if, but, the, okay, so there's that. So we recognize that we change, but we don't think we're going to continue to change. And the other side of that that I love is how, you know, change is hard. It's fucking hard, right? It sucks to change. Our brain doesn't like change because it's a pattern-making machine. It likes to do the same thing over and over again. Saves energy, all that shit. But we go through the biggest change we will ever go through in our entire lives when we're born. And I've talked about this in podcasts before, but like we're living in our mom's bellies. We're being fed through a tube in our stomachs. We're not using our eyes. We're not using our mouth. We're not using our nose, right? We're not using it for any of the things that we normally use them for now, breathing, eating, and all that stuff, seeing. Everything's fed through a tube. We're swimming around in this fluid. We're living a little best little baby life, you know? All of a sudden, fluid's gone. You're upside down. Your head's going through a cave. Everything gets fucking dark. You can't, the tube that once fed you is no longer feeding you. You emerge from this cave screaming and kicking. You're using orifices that you've never used before. The fucking light's bright. You get slapped on the ass and now you're breathing through your nose and things are all crazy, but you fucking survived, right? The smallest, most vulnerable you'll ever be in your life. Yeah. And you survived it. You survived the biggest change you'll ever make, right? So that story, when that was told to me, is the drive now for every time I feel like I don't have it. I can't do it. I don't think I can. I don't have the strength. I don't have the courage. I didn't even know any better when I was 9 months old, coming out of my mom's belly, right? Into this brand new world of my first day in this world. And I was able to do it, right? Why can't you do that now? Yes, you can. 100% you can.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard and it's going to be difficult and it's going to be challenging. And the end result will probably be one of the most beautiful things you never could have thought would have manifested in your life.
Yeah.
Take the chance.
That's fucking beautiful.
Take the chance. Dip a toe in. Do some goddamn work. You know, nobody's going to do it but you.
Have some fun.
Have some fun, man. Yes, work can be hard. Work is hard. Picking up those boulders, moving that trauma, all that bullshit, that's fucking hard. Events like this make the work fun because you have community, you have people around you, you can interact with the guides, the people that are practitioners, you can get one-on-one advice, you can get group advice, you can get like just feel the love and not feel so alone. And if that's what it takes to get you on your healing journey or continue on your healing path, try it out.
Yeah. And special call out to those brothers feeling like lone wolves out there. Join us.
Yes.
Join us.
Most definitely.
But all beings are welcomed. And yeah, lean into those growth edges, those places where it's like, oh, this is really hard and challenging. And be like in the seed pod that has to burst up through the edges of the seed to become the sprout, to become the plant that grows towards the sun that eventually becomes a flower. The caterpillar and the chrysalis busting through the walls to be seen.
Yes.
Beautiful butterfly.
Be so seen.
Yeah.
Be okay with being seen.
All of you is welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Well, brother, I'm so excited for this event to be a part of it in both ways, as a facilitator with you and as a receiver. I'm honored and I'm honored. Thank you so much. All of y'all out there, this is going to be a beautiful event. You can check out any of our social medias, websites, all that fun stuff. What's that?
We should probably tell them when.
Yes. So it's going to be on July 9th, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's an all day event. It's going to be at Sacred Dwelling in Monroe. So you can check out Camo's, Instagram or Camo's website. I have it also posted on my website and my Instagram. You can go to Kylie's. We'll leave links in the show notes for all this as well. But there's a lot of different ways to find information about this, and bring a friend. You know, if you're a little intimidated, maybe to try something different like this, try it with a friend. You know, be that friend's why. You know, have them be your why.
Yeah.
You know, and bring somebody with you. Or you know what? You're gonna meet a bunch of cool people here.
Yeah, we have some amazing humans already signed up, like a couple handfuls of beautiful humans. So I'm like stoked.
Hell yeah.
The fire is stoked.
Hell yeah. Well, dude, I'm excited for you for this step in your journey of presenting this event for everybody. I'm excited to see where it grows to.
It's definitely an edge for me. I haven't really like hosted / emceed something. Yeah. So we'll see what bad jokes come out and
dude, totally, man.
Good stuff wants to occur. So yeah, it'll be a beautiful ceremony throughout the whole day for sure.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you again, brother. I appreciate you, man. And yeah, check out the links in the show notes. Check out our Instagrams, social medias, all that good stuff. And if you have questions directly about the event, our contact info will be in the show notes as well. You can email and get some information. So my brother, I love you, man.
Brother, love you too.
See you next time.
And so it is.
Yes.
So.
Thank you so much for spending time with Camo and I. Check out the show notes to sign up for the Emergence Festival. You can also check out any of our social medias. There's links in our bios as well as both of our websites. Please like and share the podcast, and please subscribe to it if it calls to you. Thank you so much for being a part of this journey of mine. Obeisance and love. We'll see you next time.